Good evening, peace. Glad to be with you tonight, even though I can't be with you in person. And I first off just want to give a shout out to Melanie, because what a brave thing it is to tell her story on video so that everybody kind of knows it. Because I think a lot of times in the church, what we don't realize is it's hard to tell that sort of story because the church often isn't the safe place that we wish it was. See, when you join the church, you're really joining a place of struggle, a place where people have all sorts of hurts and brokenness in their life. It can be hard times, it can be health, it can be loss of a job, it can be divorce. There's all sorts of way that sin likes to get into our life and try to ruin it. And when you join the church, the hope is that the church is going to be the place that comes around you, that helps lift you back up, that helps resource you, that you hope brings you to the foot of God so that he can pour his love into you. Jesus had this in his life. I mean, he faced temptation, betrayal by his very best friends. He lost one of his best friends to death. Now, he ended up resurrecting him, of course, but Jesus knew what it was like to go through suffering. In fact, his very own people wanted to nail him to a cross. So you can imagine that Jesus understands what it's like to go through this life with suffering and encountering brokenness. But here's the problem. Sometimes the church is the very last place that people want to go when they're hurting. They're worried that maybe somebody would judge them. They're worried that somehow they didn't dress up well enough or they don't know all the right things to say. And I think that's true. I mean, sometimes we can be a judgmental place, but that's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be the people of Christ. And the people of Christ are the kind of people who come with grace and love and forgiveness. The Pharisees thought that they were not sick. They thought they weren't sick like the sinners, and so that they had no need to come to Jesus. But Jesus makes it clear, he has not come for the well. He has come for the sick, at least the ones who know they're sick, the ones who know they need forgiveness, the ones who know they need to repent, the ones who know that they need God's grace in their lives. When do we forget the words to that famous hymn? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's in the face of Jesus that we find the love of God, the forgiveness of God, where we can be completely honest and open with everything that we've been through, and he still receives us to be with him. See, the church needs to be the place for the single mom. The church needs to be the place for anybody who's struggling with anything and who wants Jesus to give them an answer. Melanie's story reminds me of Job, not in an obvious way, but in the way that God has a way of coming and giving us restarts. See, a lot of times in life, things can start pretty well and things can end pretty well, but it's that messy stuff in the middle where we had that struggle, we went through that loss, and we're not sure how to deal with that. That's the kind of story that comes out in the book of Job. See, Job was a righteous man, a rich man, a very fortunate man who had a big family. And in fact, Job was so righteous and so religious that when his kids were going to have a party, Job would have a sacrifice just in case one of his kids sinned, just in case one of his kids overdrank, just in case one of his kids had partied too much. Job was faithful to God. And then it was after that point in Job's story where Satan comes before God, somehow in like a backstage play or in the throne room of God, and Satan says that he wants to tempt Job, and he has an opportunity to do that. And suddenly Job, one thing after another, kind of loses his life. He loses his wealth, he loses his health, and he ends up losing his family. All of his kids die. And through all of these things, the one thing that's amazing about Job is although he would pray about all sorts of things, he would pray sometimes like, God, how can this be happening to me? Sometimes praying to God in anger. The one thing about Job is he never stopped praying. He knew he needed to cling to God no matter what was going on in his life. And when he was able to finally listen and hear the voice of God, he found a God that had never left him, a God who knew his suffering, a God who wanted to restore everything that he had in his life. And that's what happens at the very end of the book, if you've ever read it. it says that the last part of Job's life was blessed even more than the former parts of Job's life. I think God wants to restore things in our life too. Sometimes we're in a mess and we forget that God is with us. Whether it's a mess that we've created, whether it's a mess that's been done to us, or whether it's just some accident that has happened in our lives. There's always going to be brokenness. There's always going to be time where we need God's love and His grace. And the message of Job is God wants to bless us. In the midst of the messiness, God wants to restore our lives. And that's the picture I got from Melanie's life. See, Melanie had gone through a hard time, but she was able to watch as God came into her life and has blessed her all the more. And where she has found that relationship to be stronger. She's found His forgiveness to be deeper. She's found His love to be the most rich thing in her life. Think about our epistle lesson for today from 1 Peter chapter 5. There's three main points that come out of this section. First off, he tells us that we need to be humble before God so that God can lift us up. Number two, he tells us that the devil is a lion wanting to devour us. And then number three, God Himself is going to restore us and God is going to make us strong. See, there's a difference between shame and guilt. Guilt is something that you feel when you know that you've done something bad and you can look at that thing and say, that's not the kind of path that I want to go down in life. Shame is the kind of thing that attacks us personally. Shame says that I'm bad. Shame says that you're bad. And the problem with the distinction between the two is shame almost always leads to us hiding what we've done wrong. Shame leads to us actually hiding ourselves from others because we don't want to be known. The problem is, that's not how the church is supposed to operate. The church is supposed to be a place of forgiveness, a place of confession, a place of prayer, where we can bring the hurts, the problems in our life before each other, because we know we're not going to face judgment there. We're going to face a people with prayer who will bring these things before God our Father, knowing that the Holy Spirit can intervene. Here's what I want you all to remember. Sin is your middle name. See, the beginning of your story is the way that God wanted to create you, the way that God did create you. He created you in His image as His son or daughter. God created you for a purpose. Your last name is what He's trying to do in your life right now, where He's bringing you, the promises He wants to give you, the things that He's training you up for later. And then there's just that stuff in the middle, your middle name, and that's sin. Sin is where things went wrong, where maybe you lost your purpose, maybe you lost your connection with God. Sin is that thing that wants to foul things up in your life. But it's just your middle name, and it's not the end of your story. The peace that has been made through the cross of Jesus Christ is now working to restore you, to forgive you, and to give you a purpose for the future. That's the message of Jesus Christ. So my question is that our story at peace? Jesus referred to the Pharisees as whitewashed tombs. See, they were whitewashed on the outside. They were real clean on the outside. They had the appearance. They wore their Sunday's best. Everything on the outside looked right, but they were tombs on the inside. They were dead on the inside. They had lost all their connection to God and to others. Let's not be whitewashed tombs. Let us be the real people of God. Honest, because sin is our middle name, but also hopeful because we know that God wants to give us a new name later on. He wants to restore us, forgive us, and love us. You don't need to be ashamed of your story because it's not over, because God is writing a better ending. Amen to all of you.